Welcome to Publish. Today, I'll be speaking with Stacey Ennis, a creative consultant and ghostwriter, about how to launch an online course.
Welcome to Publish, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher, to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. We have a really exciting episode on deck for you today. Before we jump in, I have a quick and exciting announcement to share. My own book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, will be released on May 27th. It has been a labor of love for sure for the past several months, really longer, and I feel even more connected now to the authors that I help serve at Greenleaf Book Group and to you, of course, our wonderful listeners. The book covers a lot of the same things that we talk about here on the podcast, how to launch the book and develop multiple streams of income around it. And if you're interested in checking it out, of course, there will be more information about it on our show notes page for this episode. Speaking of creating streams of income around a book, one of the things that we get asked all the time at Greenleaf is, should I start an online course? For many people, it's a great idea to monetize content, create passive income, and to build their reputation as an expert in their field. But if you don't know where to start, certainly it can be an overwhelming process. So to help us out, I'm excited to welcome Stacey Ennis to the show. Stacey is a creative consultant and really a strategic wordsmith who helps people and companies sort through their ideas to find clarity and direction. She has written or ghostwritten several books, and last year she launched an online course geared around helping authors finish their books. Aptly called Finish That Book, the course takes authors through the steps of understanding the publishing landscape, outlining, dedicating the time to write through videos, a workbook, an online community, and other resources. So to tell us how she got started with this course, I'm pleased to welcome Stacey. Let's get into the interview. All right, Stacey, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to create an online learning course?
Sure. So I'm a creative consultant and a writer, and mostly I ghostwrite books for really smart, amazing people who don't have the skill of writing developed to the place that they feel like they can write their own books. And part of the reason that I decided to write or to create a course is because I felt like I had this information that I was having in part to go over and over and over again with new clients and even just with people who wanted help. You know, people would reach out to me with questions and it would take a really long time to deliver that information to them. Oftentimes clients would hire me over several sessions to teach this information to them, and I felt like there had to be a better way. There had to be a more cost-effective way for them and a more efficient way for me. So that was part of the motivation. I'd say the other piece of it is that I felt like I had a gap in my platform. So I had a book out, I was blogging, I was speaking, I was doing interviews, I was doing all of the things that you're kind of supposed to do as part of a platform, but I didn't have a course. And I also wanted to test myself and see, you know, could I do it? Mm-hmm. What does it involve? And just jump in and figure out the new way of delivering content.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I think it's very much in line with what we always preach here in terms of really helping to get authors in a mindset of monetizing their expertise beyond the book, and especially in ways like what you're talking about is scaling your expertise to where people talk about make money when you sleep like it's that easy, which it isn't. But in a sense, that's what's happening here. If someone can buy your online course while you're off doing something else and you don't have to keep replicating the same content over and over.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great. So what type of resources did you look at as you were exploring this process? Because I'm sure, I mean, I've dug into this a bit and I know that there are a zillion and one different platforms and directions you can go. So how did you go about researching that and coming to the conclusion on how to proceed?
Sure. So I think the most important thing to tell you, first of all, is I actually brought in a business partner to help me with my course. And so that person had the technical knowledge. She hadn't gone in and created a full course before, but she had done a lot of research and she had helped someone else who had an already established course. So she had some knowledge in that area. So we basically ended up splitting our efforts. I created the content, she did the technical side. And so she's actually the person that went out and did the research on the different course platforms. I had some existing knowledge on design platforms and stuff like that. So we brought our individual expertise together to create the course. I certainly could not have done it without her in the period of time that I did it, which wasn't that short, which we'll get to, I think, later. But I think also just in the execution piece, she was an accountability partner. I felt like she drove the project forward. So that piece, I think, is important to know just as far as the amount of effort that went into it was two people. But as far as actual technical aspects we used or software we used, is that what you're asking about?
Well, that and looking at decisions like do you white label an existing piece of technology, mm-hmm. or do you use something like Udemy that's a branded platform but brings an audience?
Sure. So we definitely researched all of those options. We spent actually a really long time considering all of the different choices and what would be the best for my particular goals and my particular brand. And so what I decided to do was use a platform called Course Cats. There's lots out there that are very similar, but Course Cats is essentially a white label. So they have all the back end. I pay, I think it's about $200 every 3 months to use the software. And I am able to completely brand it to fit in line with my main website. The only thing that was a missing part of this particular software is that you can't integrate it into your existing WordPress website. So we did have to create a separate website for it. For me, it made a lot more sense to have full ownership over my content. I wanted to be able to brand it the way I wanted to brand it. I didn't want to have to be stuck with their exact templates or even completely within their design choices with a place like Udemy. Mm-hmm.
And their pricing models.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The pricing models just did not fit with what I believe the content was worth. They're also, you have to pay attention to, even though one service seems cheaper than another service, the transaction fees can really add up, and a lot of platforms take a pretty high percentage, considering that they're not really doing anything other than providing the software. And so that's why we ended up going with Course Cats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it Course Cats
like the
meow?
Animal. Yes, like meow. Yes, Course Cats. Okay. Yeah, and it's nice. The other thing I like about Course Cats is that it is a WordPress site. And so because I have a WordPress website, my main website is WordPress, I was really comfortable already with the back end. And it looks exactly like any other WordPress back end, except it's a little bit more complex because they have, you know, created this whole template that you basically plug your own content into. Mm-hmm. And then it integrates with Vimeo, which is what I used, and I pay a small extra subscription fee to keep those private. So it all integrates really seamlessly.
Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. So you talked about being the person who designed the curriculum, uh-huh. which also seems like an art and a science in and of itself.
Yeah.
So how did you approach that? Because I imagine you would construct that in a very different way than you would go about laying out a book, for instance.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It actually felt like a very similar process in a lot of ways. So one thing that helped, I taught for 2 years, long time ago, but so I did have experience in designing curriculum. I actually created curriculum for my high school classes that I taught. So I had that knowledge going into it. But I also write about 2.5 books a year. So I'm really used to the outlining and execution process of a book. I wasn't expecting how hard creating a course would be. I actually felt like it was harder than writing a book in a lot of ways. I don't know if that's because it was new. Or if it really is just a lot, it felt like it was a lot harder. And I think part of it, so what felt similar? It was a similar approach to a book in that I started with this really broad scope, right? I had this huge idea of this multifaceted, gigantic course that I was going to build. And I think a lot of books start out that way. It's like you have this huge thing and everything needs to fit into it. And then eventually through the process of outlining, you pick the right direction to take it, you narrow down, and you figure out what that core message is, and you create something that is much smaller in scope and more focused. And that was a similar process. So I started out with a 33-page outline of this massive course, and I went out and I asked questions to colleagues of mine in the industry and said, what do people need? What are they really looking for? Because I felt like this course that I had planned was way too big. It wasn't going to serve people the way that I wanted to. And so I have a colleague of mine, Stephanie Chandler, who runs the Nonfiction Authors Association. I was on a call with her, and so I asked her what the biggest thing people struggled with. And I had a couple of course ideas. And she said productivity and getting it done was the main thing. And that was what I was already feeling. And I had asked a few other colleagues and clients. And so I kept getting the same input. I paid attention online. I was in groups watching what people were struggling with. And that helped me narrow it. And then the way that I actually created it was quite different than writing a book, because I was designing slides at the same time as I was writing the content. For me, that was my best process. And I used Canva to create the slides and also to design the workbook for the course.
Mm-hmm. So there's a workbook as well?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, a full workbook. I think it's just under 30 pages. And then I have some bonus trainings and some templates, things like that within the course.
Okay, so you have that all bundled as one product.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, yeah. So that's another decision that people have to work through.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely don't need to create something quite as robust, but I felt like if I was going to be able to meet my goal, which was really giving people the knowledge and the tools to be able to get their books done, that's the whole point of the course, those had to be included. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, and it's the same in writing a book. I would think you would agree with this. It's I never make choices about whether to do or not do something because it's too hard. And so sometimes I think, you know, in this course, it was a lot of work and there were pieces I could have left out, but that wouldn't have been the right choice to serve the people that I wanted to serve.
So. That's right. Yeah. And actually it's sort of a sidebar, but I think writing a book and probably going through that exercise is great practice for people for that reason, because so often this is very interesting, because this topic is something that for years I've been telling authors, you should do this, you should do this, you should have online courses. That's a great way to monetize content. And when I sat down to write my book, I realized I now need to flesh out that recommendation, because I can't just send them off in some general direction. I have to give them some actionable advice and a place to start, which I didn't have previously. So it's really good for making people work through, I think, some of maybe those, not necessarily gaps, but maybe the more shallow areas of their own expertise or subject area.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that actually is a great point too, because I think that online courses are really hot right now. People, it seems like everybody should create an online course, but I do think people need to check in and say, is this the best way to deliver content, to deliver what I want to deliver to people? For me, the answer was very clearly yes, because I was already doing that. How I was delivering this information to people was usually over Skype, because they weren't in my area. And I basically took the same thing I was teaching them live and I turned it into a course, and that made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But there are other times when an online course doesn't make sense. And so really getting clear about, why am I creating this course? What is it that I want to be the outcome for the people that I'm creating it for? And is this the right method for delivering that? And getting clear before you spend 6 months, you know, creating it.
And that's my next question, because this all does sound like a lot of work. And it sounds like you were very methodical in researching. And even with this extra help that you had, there's just a lot to tackle here between choosing the platform and the technology and getting the actual curriculum designed. So 6 months, was that your start to finish?
Yeah,
go live time?
I think it's fair to note that I have a lot going on. So I certainly could have gotten it done a lot faster if I had been able to set aside, you know, maybe a month, month and a half to be really focused on it. I was writing a book. I was revising two other books. I was speaking. I was doing a ton of things. So, you know, being able to get it did take me 6 months. I certainly think it could be done faster if it becomes a priority.
What did the actual curriculum design portion of it take, if you recall?
You know, really focused time was about 2 to 3 months of, so it's a couple of things. So one is creating, then it has to, because I am a really big proponent of editing, I ran everything through multiple rounds of editing. So not just content, substantive editing, but also several rounds of proofreading. So getting everything, not only the content really great, but also the kind of refinement of the words and making sure everything was just right. Then you have to record, and then you have to edit, and then you have to create the online, like get all the copy done. You're probably working on that alongside. So there are multiple stages, just like, you know, I think a lot of people with their first books are shocked at how many other steps go into creating this book that you hold in your hand. Really similar experience with creating a course.
Yeah, and also similar, the work doesn't stop with creating the book. Yes. Once you have the course, of course, a little, that was slightly meta. Once you have the course, of course, you have to promote it. So that seems like quite the beast, given, you know, we certainly know how competitive the landscape is on the book selling side, and I'm sure it's climbing to that level on the online learning side as well. Mm-hmm. So what did you do to promote your course?
One of the things that I did, and I think this will be helpful for listeners, is created a couple of free resources. And part of people signing up for those free resources was that they then went into kind of an email funnel. So they were getting really valuable emails, but at the same time, they're learning about the course. And so to do that, I used ConvertKit. They have a really fabulous software that lets you tag people as they come in. And so it's kind of complicated, but it works really well for that purpose. But I created a guide it's called What Will My Book Cost? And because that was the number one question that I was getting from people, they would, when they reach out to me, whether to hire me or just because they know I'm in the industry and they had a question, the number one question is, like, what do I need to budget for this book? And so I created a guide that I knew people would want, that then I captured their email. So then I had an asset, which in some ways to me was more valuable than whether or not they bought the course. Mm-hmm. And then once they received this free guide, and the guide's really awesome too. I didn't create a, you know, 2-page guide that wasn't actually helpful. It's really in depth. I worked really hard on it. I did a ton of research. It's really good. I felt good about that offering. And so when they get this free thing from me, it shows them kind of a taste of the level of quality of what the course would be. So that was one way. The other way was social media, Facebook ads, posting on different social accounts, emailing my existing list. Also, it's been really nice for when I have new clients come in. I get a lot of emails inbound every week, most of which will never become clients. And I want a way to be able to still serve them and give them something valuable. So it's been really nice to be able to say, there's this course that will really help you as you get started on this journey of writing a book, and having a way to kind of direct people inbound that I can't work with to something that's actually helpful to them and also is profitable for me.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I bet those people become fans and potentially recommend other folks who maybe can afford the higher level of service. Yeah, that's a great way to sort of pay it forward with those folks. I love that. So looking back, any big lessons learned or any great advice that you can share? You've shared tons of great advice, but anything else that you can share with those listeners who may be dabbling with the idea of launching their own course?
Yeah, you know, I would say that it's kind of similar advice I would give somebody starting a book, is to get real about the amount of work that's going into it. But I don't think that should dissuade people, because I think there is something really worthy about tackling something that is foreign and hard. It makes you better on the other side. But the advice that I would give people is to really plan it out and create a clear schedule for when things are happening and when you plan to launch, and make it realistic, but make it time bound, and then get somebody that you're accountable for. So if you can afford it, hire somebody to help you. It doesn't mean they need to take on half of the load like my partner did, but it can be somebody who edits the videos for you or uploads the videos and kind of creates the main course site for you. And part of the reason I really like that as a suggestion is because then you get a date on the calendar. Somebody is waiting for the content from you. You might have a penalty financially if you don't hit your deadline. And so committing financially to deadlines makes a huge difference in driving you to actually get it done.
Yeah, I like that idea. It's an accountability partner, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, this is all great advice. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Such a pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening. For notes from today's show, including links to the vendor Stacy mentioned, head to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode20. Don't forget, information about my upcoming book, including 3 free sample chapters, can be found there too.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.